Second Peter, chapter 1. Second Peter, chapter 1. It goes from Hebrews to Revelation and Revelation to Hebrews. I got it. Second Peter, chapter 1. Verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would give us better understanding of your mind in this portion. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Peter, James, and John had been to the Mount of Transfiguration, and they had witnessed the glory coming through the incarnate Son of God, the light. He was transfigured before them. And not only did they see the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured before them, but also they heard a voice from God himself. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So Peter, James, and John not only saw the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God, transfigured, glorious, but also they heard the voice of God firsthand. So now Peter has the certainty not only of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Son of God and God himself, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," but also the certainty of the Word of God. We next hear the confirmation given by the vision on the mount to the prophetic word. Now, King James Version, it says, "a more sure word of prophecy." That's really hard to understand exactly what that means. If we understand it in the right context, what Peter means, it's a good translation. But really what it means is we have the prophetic word firmer, to which you do well in paying heed. The prophetic word is more sure. Where? In Peter's mind. You see, he had read and studied the Old Testament and believed that that's the word of God. But when God confirmed the glorified Lord Jesus Christ, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," they not only saw that, the predictions of the Old Testament in the Lord Jesus Christ, but also the confirmation by God himself when he says, "This is my beloved Son." So the prophetic word of the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, they converge in the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his person. The Old Testament, in a lot of portions, reveals the New Testament. And the New Testament, in a lot of portions, explains and reveals the Old Testament. So the whole book, the whole Bible, is the Word of God. And whatsoever was written before time was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So Peter here is declaring that the word of God was made firmer or confirmed in his own mind by what he had witnessed and but what he had seen and heard. So now, Peter is saying basically that God alone can speak with certainty of the future. And God is confirming that the prophecies were actually directed directly by the Holy Spirit. The law and the prophets testified of Christ. You remember after the resurrection of Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus himself said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Christ expounded the things concerning himself. The word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, because it is the word of God. And all the testimonies of the prophets converge in the person and being of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God is powerful. So, it is good to give heed to prophecy. It's good to study. It's the word of God. And it tells us all about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us about his saving power. And it tells us about his coming power. And it tells us about his reigning power. Well, we better study. We better study. This is our destiny right here. It's put right here. Roadmap. Every step of the way. We need to study the word of God. All the learned prophets testified. So it's good to give heed to the prophecy, to study. And it says the study in the prophetic word is like a lamp that shineth in a dark place. The word of God is like a lamp that shines in a dark place. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. A lamp that shines in a dark place. Brothers and sisters, the world is a dark place. It is a dark, dark place. We need the guiding of light of the word of God to go through this terrible world. It's a dark world. And also, the heart of the unbeliever is a very dark place indeed. It's a gloomy place. If a person doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Dark place, deceitful place, gloomy place, wicked. And unless it's illumined by the Holy Spirit of God, it's a very dark place indeed. But when we have the Word of God in our hands, what a wonderful book this is. The greatest book ever given to man. His roadmap to the future, to eternity to come. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Look at the Psalms. Look at a lot of the portions in the Old Testament, the Messianic Psalms that our brother Daniel was talking about during the Sunday school, and the other portions. They appeal to the very deepest yearning of the heart. The Ethiopian eunuch was reading Isaiah 53 when his heart was pierced. It appeals to the deepest yearning of the sense of sin, of the feeling of need. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. The longing of atonement. There's a longing in our hearts to be atoned, to be saved, so we could live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes by the word of God. And then, of course, to the reaching forth of the soul to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. There's only one solution to the sin problem, according to the Word of God. One solution, and that's the Word of God. The Word of God enlightens the soul and all of a sudden makes the soul realize we need the Savior. Priest, without compromise. Thank God for this small meeting. We preach without compromise. We tell it like it is. A lot of people in the world like a gospel that's palatable to the flesh. And a lot of people that bring these gospels that are palatable to the flesh, those places may be full because their heart is not bothered. But when we preach the Word of God, the sincere milk of the Word, well, yeah, the flesh doesn't like it, but it attracts everybody to the Lord Jesus Christ. It convicts of sin. It warns of judgment. It induces repentance and produces righteousness in people. The Word of God has to be taught in sincerity and in truth. The Lord Jesus said, I have given them thy word. Most powerful thing we have in our hands, the Word of God. It says, till the morning star arise in your hearts, till the heavenly hope of his coming to introduce us to the Father's house. We need the Word of God. Then we're going to see him face to face. Then we're going to see his brightness, his glory more perfectly. We won't have any clouds or mist or of ignorance that would intercept the bright shining of the sun. We're going to see him like he is. And what's so amazing is we are going to be like him. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, then we're going to know as we are known. And with open face beholding as a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. And then in verse 21, it says, for the prophecy came not in all time by the will of man. What Peter is saying is, by the inspired word of God, that the prophecies are not the result of human thought. Human thought would not bring forth the word of God. Cannot. Human thoughts are wicked thoughts. We're fallen. We have fallen natures. It's not human thoughts. It's the prophets did not himself or themselves unravel the mysteries of the future. And what happened? Interpretation as well as vision comes from God. It originated in God. God knows what the future is. He planned it that way. He is the one who could give it to us. It was not Joseph who interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Listen what he said. He said, it's not in me, said Pharaoh. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Oh, God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God is going to tell Joseph word by word what's going to happen, how he is going to interpret that dream, because that dream is sure, because that's the word of God. What about Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he's threatening to execute all those wise people if they don't find what the dream is and interpret the dream for him. They call Daniel. And what's his answer? He comes before Nebuchadnezzar, and he saves all those corrupt people by his witnessing to Nebuchadnezzar the power of God. He says, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. It wasn't in Daniel, but God gave him every word of what was to happen in the interpretation of the dream. Men spoke from God. Daniel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. His word was in my tongue. That couldn't be any better than that, right? If God is directing every word in my mouth, then it's not my word, it's His word. But He is using me to broadcast His word. As the inspiration, Jeremiah was told, you must say whatever I command you. Whatever I command you. And then he says, now I have put my word in your mouth. Jeremiah said, if you want to kill me, go ahead and kill me. And he's pleading with God, they're going to kill me. God says, you go and tell them whatever I have put in your mouth. Don't you worry about anything else. And Jeremiah is forced to go and tell what's going to happen to Judah. Jerusalem, the temple is going to be wiped out, stolen. Thieves are going to come in and carry away all the vessels, precious vessels, holy vessels of God. And yet they want to kill me. It doesn't matter. Jeremiah is forced to give them exactly what God has told them. The holy men who uttered prophecies uttered by the Spirit of God. Peter was unlearned when he was preaching on the day of Pentecost. He says, how could these people who are unlearned, they had not been to school, how could they give these words and convict people of sin and lead thousands of people to the Lord? Because they were inspired by the Word of God to speak the words. And we have it in our hand. The Word of God. Holy men uttered, and they were directed by the Spirit of God. God who spoke at the Transfiguration, of course, is the God who spoke by the prophets. He is the God who spoke by the New Testament writers. Peter, James, John, Paul, all those people. And people look at Revelation and say, man, this is a mystery. John was probably drunk or something like that. But it's the Word of God. And we are encouraged to study it and study it and study it. It doesn't make any difference whether we right away understand what it means or not. We have to learn to study. This is our food. Sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. They're the Word of God, not of men. And of course, they should be received with all affection and reverence. Today, this Bible is not receiving the dignity that it deserves. The Word of God is life, has the life-giving power to us. And people just discard it. I dare say you go on the street and ask 15, 20 people if they could turn to the book of Matthew's gospel. I dare say that maybe out of 20, maybe five of them would be able to, I don't know, even if that much. In fact, some places, they even encourage people not to read this book, to go to them so they could give the people their own ideas, corrupt ideas even at that. We should have affection to the Word of God, and we should have reverence and study it. When there's something so precious, and we look at that precious thing and study it and study it and study it to find out what makes that so precious. We have the most precious gift in our hands today. After the Lord ascended, and here we, by the grace of God, we have the Bible in our hands. And the Lord wants us to treasure this and to study, to make thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. rightly dividing the word of truth. And of course, when we study it, then the Spirit, we have to pray, because the Spirit is the best interpreter of the Word of God. He is the one who dictated the Word of God. He is the one who gave the Word of God verbatim to the writers of the book. The Spirit, of course, is the best interpreter of them. And of course, they are to be the rule of our lives. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? It's amazing how terribly the Bible has been disgraced, even in this country. When the Word of God had been so published in this country before, when the Lord Jesus Christ had been glorified in the hearts of so many people. And I have mentioned this to you once, but I'll mention it again. I was at a filling station, and I tried to, by God's grace and love, try to witness as much as I can. And I was at the filling station, and here this man came, and he was filling his tank with gas, and I think he may have dropped a penny on the ground. I didn't see it, but anyway, there was a penny on the ground, so I just picked it up. And I said, is this your penny? He said, I don't know. I said, well, take it. I think it's not mine. So, he took it, like, you know, no big thing. I said, do you know why I got down and picked up that penny? He said, no. Why? I said, because on that little penny that's not worth much today, there's that beautiful inscription, In God We Trust. And I said, I'm not about to let that penny stay on the ground when it says, In God We Trust. He said, oh, man, you're a good man. I said, oh, no, I'm not a good man. I said, you may have better character than I had when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Lord. I have His righteousness in me now because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how did I come about to know about the Lord Jesus Christ? This book. I may not have known how to read it, but my parents had, and they taught me. And we tell people and witness a book that they don't turn to the pages, yet we're able to witness. And brothers and sisters, I encourage, again, all of us, to hold this book very, very dear. Study and read. You may say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. Read it again and again and again. Oh, yeah, it makes sense. Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, I see it. I see it now. Okay, yeah. It will, because the Holy Spirit is going to interpret, and pray that the Holy Spirit will interpret the Word of God, because that's the best thing that we have in our hands. The Lord God Himself gave it to us. What a treasure we have. Thank you so much.